Good morning. I greet you to those of you who are worshiping in this sanctuary and also worshiping with us via Zoom. And I pray that we all be open-minded to the movement of the Holy Spirit working among us this morning and receive the blessing that God has prepared through the message, through the confirmation of His presence, through the Holy Spirit this morning. And may we continue on this new year with the assurance of God's presence in our life. Amen? Amen. Billy Graham was speaking in San Jose area and on the closing day told this story. It seems there was a strong man who traveled with a circus. One of his most impressive stunts was to take an orange and squeeze every last drop of juice out of it. Then he would offer $1,000 to anyone who could manage to squeeze as much as one additional drop from it. He went from town to town making his offer, but no one was able to win the $1,000 from him. Then one day he came to a small town in California and made his demonstration of juice squeezing prowess and his challenge. A small, old, 98-pound weakling type man came forward and said he'd like to take a try at the challenge. He took the crushed orange and proceeded to squeeze 6 more drops of juice from it. The strong man was amazed. He could hardly believe his eyes. He asked how he was possibly able to do this. The man shrugged and said, "Oh, I am the treasurer down at the Baptist church, and we do this all the time." Believe it or not, our church practices a lot of financial squeezing as well. I serve as the president of the district union, East District Union, and know many Methodist churches are in a similar financial situation. Money matters, beginning from an individual to a huge corporation. Making money and financial management are people's primary interests. It decides the fates of people and nations, small or great. Money provides security, a comfortable lifestyle, and the power to control. However, Jesus' teaching goes against this. Jesus was well acquainted with the finances of his day. The Gospels recount Jesus' familiarity with the value of currencies, taxes, debts, and financial returns. Yet Jesus advised his dedicated followers not to carry purses when he sent them out for a mission with many challenges, including daily meals and lodging. Hardships accompanying the lack of financial resources for basic sustenance for a huge task were easily predictable. Jesus was not being harsh on his missionaries. He simply wanted them to rely entirely on him. Now, our journeys can be compared with the journey of the Magi, Joseph and Mary, after the Christmas. Our life journey is not so easy. Why does God allow hardship? Why did God allow hardship to those people of Christmas after Jesus was born? Why does God allow troubles to us, the believers, today? We will reflect upon the significance of depending on God through prayer for our journey this morning. The Magi were a council of kings from Persia. Ancient Persia had a highly advanced system for developing kings' councils. They selected candidates with extraordinary aptitude at a young age and taught them advanced studies such as mathematics, law, science, astrology, and more. They were like Daniel sitting in king's council in Persia. The book of Daniel writes, Daniel was selected because he was brilliant and was placed in training for 3 years before entering the king's service. So we can picture the kind of people they were, the Magi were. We can assume the Magi possessed the same intelligence as Daniel. They were highly educated and held the highest political standing just as Daniel did. These foreign dignitaries made great sacrifices to travel through rugged terrain on camels from Persia, which is present-day Iran, to Bethlehem, Israel. They brought the infant Christ the most valuable gifts of the time. They were the only Gentiles in the entire world to come and worship the newborn King of the universe. Shouldn't the Magi have received rewards for their honorable presence at Christ's birth? Perhaps a pleasant trip back to their home country at the very least. However, their return journey was more tedious and prolonged for certain than their initial trip to Bethlehem. They had to travel through unfamiliar territories and would have had to search for food and lodging each day. How about the Holy Family? They experienced a drastic change after Jesus was born. The earthly presence of the infant Christ had already gone through much. It was not easy for Joseph to accept his pregnant fiancée and take on a role of a father figure. The traditions and teachings of his community did not support such a marriage arrangement. Mary accepted God's plan with total humility, risking a life. Now, after the birth, they were compelled to live in a foreign land where they knew no one, received no support from family or friends. They were unfamiliar with the language and culture. They were there temporarily and had no idea when they could return to their home country. They had to find ways to survive each day for possibly 4 years. The Gospels do not mention what happened to the Magi's gift. One possible assumption is that the Holy Family used them for sustenance in Egypt. But the gift might not have lasted that long. What they endured was worse than what the Magi experienced. The worst of all was the massacre of innocent boys in and around Bethlehem after Christmas. So many families mourned the loss of their sons. Matthew's description speaks clearly about the heartbreak. There was great mourning. Mothers were so deeply saddened by it, and they refused to be comforted. The direct family of Jesus, the foreign dignitaries, and those innocent boys and their families unfairly endured a series of hardship and tragedies after Christmas. None of them did anything wrong that deserved adversity. what those people of Christmas had been through confirms one noteworthy truth. Believers and non-believers are not immune from trouble. Trouble does not discriminate against anyone and comes to people from all walks of life. Is it true that the presence of God does not grant us immunity from troubles and hardships? We believe in Jesus the Emmanuel. God is with us. Plus, we are committed to follow and serve God as the Magi, Joseph, and Mary did. But our merit and innocence do not ensure a smooth path. Why does God permit troubles along our path? To find an answer, we are going to examine Jesus' instruction before he sent a team of 72 on a mission in Luke 10. Jesus told them, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse, bag, or sandals." Jesus was fully aware that their mission fields were wild and dangerous. He indicated, "I'm sending you like lambs among wolves." Yet he instructed them not to carry a purse or items of basic necessity. How could they sustain themselves while engaging in missionary work in perilous conditions? As mentioned earlier, Jesus knew the value of money and the financial customs of his time. He understood units of currency like drachma, denarius, mina, and talents, using them in his parables. He was familiar with the coins for temple tax and those issued by Rome. He also knew about the practice of investing money for profits, among other financial concepts. What must have been the reason behind Jesus' instruction as he fully grasped the value of money? One primary reason was that when those missionaries lacked the means of basic sustenance, their only option left for them would be to rely entirely on God for everything. Why does God allow troubles on our path? Just as the Magi, Joseph, and Mary faced a treacherous journey, Jesus' instruction to his missionaries provide the answer. God wants us to depend on him in everything we do. Jesus in Luke 12:33 spoke of a different kind of purse. He said, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." Money cannot buy everything we need and can also run out. What Jesus wants us to carry is a spiritual purse that will never run dry and can always sustain us. What should we carry inside our spiritual purse? I see two items: our dependence on God and our access to God's vast storeroom through prayer. As we navigate this rugged earthly journey, we will encounter situations where worldly means of security are useless. But what we carry in our spiritual purses are only resources of sustenance. Shirley Dobson, that is James Dobson's wife, who founded the Focus on the Family, wrote a book called The Certain Peace in Uncertain Times, and she wrote the following. When Focus on the Family was in its early stages and our children were young, my husband, Jim, traveled often. I had grown accustomed to his absence and was never really frightened while he was away, except once. One night about 2 a.m., I awoke with a start. I was afraid and did not know why. For a few minutes, seems like hours, I lay in bed worrying. Finally, I forced myself out of bed and sank to my knees. Lord, I do not know why I am so frightened, I prayed. I ask you to watch over our home and to protect our family. Send your guardian angel to be with us. I climbed back into bed, and in about half an hour, I was back asleep. The next morning, our babysitter, who lived across the street, came running over. Mrs. Dobson, did you hear what happened? A burglar robbed your next-door neighbor's house last night. The police determined the time of the robbery about 2 a.m. My mind reeled at the thought. If a burglar wanted to break into our house, I said, he would probably try to get in through the bathroom window near our children's bedroom. There's a hedge and he would be shielded from view. Let's go look. When we looked at the window on the other side of the house, we saw that the screen was bent and the sill splintered. Someone had indeed tried to break in. I am convinced that God protected us that night. I was surprised, but I should not have been. For years, Jim and I had prayed and fasted, trusting God to protect our family. We knew God powerfully worked through prayer. On that dark early morning, my trust was tested in a frantic moment, and God proved faithful. I can't explain why God allows difficulties to come into our lives, but I know that in all circumstances, as the psalmist tells us, God is an everlasting present, ever-present help in trouble. When the 72 missionaries returned, Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandal, did you lack anything? They answered, nothing. During the new year, we may encounter hardship and challenges, and you know already many challenges in all different parts of the world. And our worldly means of sustenance will not be enough to meet our need. However, our dependence on God through prayer will unlock the storehouse of God's provision. Amen.